The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Hello, Matt. Coffee. Matt's drinking coffee.
You did it, and you planned that.
I sensed it.
You said, I took just took a sip, and then you said, good morning. We sounds so unprofessional. Let's start the show right now.
All right, forget, just cut that part
cut
out.
Cut all that
looks
out.
Silly.
Let's go.
Okay.
Right, good.
Well, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have a great show. We have Johnny Walker's calling in. We got Tim Means
yes.
calling in. And Randy Brown. I love it when a guest comes right before the show. And we hang for the whole show. I like that. Welcome
yes.
to the show,
Randy. Yes, Randy Brown, the great Randy Brown. I'm hitting the applause button because listen,
you're here.
You know, I don't want to get too crazy with it, but I like to give respect when it's due.
Yeah, I like when my friends come in.
Me too. What's up, Randy?
What's going on?
You know, and how that came about is I seen him last week strangling some of my guys. And I'm just like, what just happened?
I can't hear anything.
Oh, what? He can't. You got to get him on the.
Oh, there you go.
All right, we're going to cut that out, too. Don't worry.
No, that's okay. I like the flaws.
So what was I saying? Oh, so I saw Randy. Randy comes down on Tuesday nights and down to one of my places. And he beats up on my guys and leaves. Yeah, you had a good night last week, by the way.
Thank
you. I don't
you,
know if you. I talked to you afterwards, but you weren't rolling with lemons. And I'm not saying exactly what you were getting because you might use it in your next fight, but you were strangling some people.
BJJ games coming together, man. Wrestling games coming together. All around grappling games coming together.
Is it Sensei Nardu you've been working with a lot?
Yes, absolutely.
I told you guys how, you know, like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon type of thing.
Yes, Randy. 6 degrees.
Excuse me?
I think it's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Let's not. It really doesn't. That's not the point.
Okay.
I mean, listen, is it 6 degrees?
I think that's 6 degrees. You added a degree.
It's
6 degrees of separation.
It could be a different game I'm talking about.
That's true.
Chances are it's probably the same game.
You want to play 7 degrees of Randy Brown?
Can we get back to what I'm trying to say is Randy's longtime teacher. Mentor. Is it too far to say mentor?
No, not
I don't
at all.
Think so, because I can tell you guys are close.
Absolutely.
Is the great Nardu Deborah. Deborah.
Yeah,
Deborah. And he's a badass, man. He came up, he first started, he's been a martial artist a long time, but he came to me back when I didn't even have my first school, Nardu. And he was like, man, when people do gang sing, are you pointing to him?
I got such ADD.
I didn't point.
I didn't do anything.
No one pointed.
All right, we're starting the show right now. Guys, it's hit me hard today.
What?
I'll tell you.
You on drugs?
why do you feel that I'm on drugs? You think I'm high or something?
You might be.
Jimmy, don't judge me, first of all.
I'm not. I'm high. I love you.
I'm high on life.
Yes.
When you work out and you notice, Randy.
worked out. I'm not stoned.
Hey. You get endorphins running through your body.
Yes.
So who shoveled this morning? You know who shoveled?
Yeah, I imagine you did after you hit that fucking pipe a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. My wife shoveled. But, hey, can I tell you this? No, because she thinks my knees are hurting me. It's ridiculous. So I got back from taking the kids to school. I see a shoveling. But who helped Randy Brown? This guy. And, you know, then I'm cleaning off the cars. And then I'm about to go in and I see my neighbor Bob's house. And Bob, you think I'm walking fucked up. Bob's got some issues. So I'm like, oh, man, I got to take care of Bob. So I clean off his car. What I'm trying to say is the endorphins are running. I started rolling the other day. If you checked out my Instagram,
that's
Sarah BJJ. What does this have to do with that? Can we get back to Randy Brown?
We are. You just talking about Rowan. I'm just trying to say, Randy's looking
very
good.
You're accusing me of being high. I'm telling you, I'm high on life.
I just asked.
Jimmy's looking right in my face like he's at an AA meeting. Could you cut? Don't
judge. Well, in fairness, though, you did say it's hitting me hard today. Or
yes.
Something.
No, no, no. No, I meant my ADD.
Oh, okay.
Now, Randy, oh, okay, Matt's microphone needs Cialis. By the way,
like my microphone became a limp cock.
Yeah, trust me, I know how that feels.
This is going to be a show for the ages. We got to just
now, Randy. I want to ask you too, because you're talking about your wrestling and your jiu-jitsu. And first of all, my picks. What a bloodbath! I did terrible. Usman against Woodley. One of the hardest fights I ever picked. Of course, I picked it incorrectly after having picked it correctly first.
You want correct picks? Just go to my Instagram, touchandgo_. All right.
You pick well.
Oh, of course, every time.
Who'd you pick in Woodley? Usman.
Usman.
You did pick him. Mm-hmm. I had him and then went again. I'm so stupid. How did you pick him? By decision?
Yeah.
You did. I was surprised that his wrestling was so much stronger than Woodley's. I thought that'd be kind of a more even matchup, and then Woodley's power would be the difference.
Jimmy.
I was really fucking wrong.
Jimmy? Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
You know who else thought he would win by decision?
You did.
All right. You could point it out.
Well, I forgot.
Yep.
You didn't forget, Jimmy. Fucking knew.
That was
you knew, and you hate. You like Kamaru. He was hanging out with us. But you hate that I hit that on the head.
No, I was happy he won. I like him.
Are you?
I was. Yeah. I don't care about the pick.
No. But you happy he won that way?
By decision? I was okay.
Man, can I pick him? Who won last month in the picks? Besides you. Between me and Jimmy.
Besides me.
It was you.
And Randy can pick him. Okay, Randy, you pick him. You're good at picking him?
Yeah, I'm decent.
Who'd you pick Munoz against Cody Garbrandt?
I had Garbrandt. I had everybody in their mind.
I had Munoz first round KO.
Oh, shit.
I'm
really?
Lying. No. Cody.
I'm going to give Johnny Walker a call. Sorry, okay. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to.
As Jimmy's
make sure
saying.
Oh,
Jimmy, I get you?
No, I just dropped my thing.
I was here for that episode, Jimmy, and I.
You're just going
to
have to.
We got to have to wait.
I'll cut it out.
No. That's the Skype song.
That is so. Come on, guys.
It's annoying.
Really, Randy? I'm supposed to keep it together.
We'll clean it up.
Give us a hot bar.
No. I want the. Can the audience please hear this?
Leave it in.
I think we have to leave it in.
They can hear it.
Because they're going to think I'm messed up. First of all, is everybody else hearing it?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
He didn't pick up.
How come you don't want to. Oh.
Shit.
We got it.
We have to leave this.
Hold on. Hello. We have Johnny Walker on the phone. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm okay, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. You're talking to Jim and Matt, Sarah and Randy Brown on UFC Unfiltered.
What's up, Johnny?
Yo.
Congratulations on the win. You looked incredible.
Thank you. I appreciate it, my friend.
How did this fight come about? Because you fought, 28 days ago? And you were not originally scheduled to fight this fight. How did this come about?
The fight's... It's like so fast, you know, then less than 1 month. But I'll be prepared like more than 5 years ago to this fight.
You were,
and yes,
it showed.
Yeah. Now, are you hurt? Didn't you go to the doctor today for your shoulder?
Yeah, I have to go to the doctor. I will go to the doctor. I think midday. And check what's happening. If you know, nothing serious. I hope nothing serious because I want to fight soon again.
How does it feel now?
I feel great. I feel great. I feel happy. Proud of myself.
How about the shoulder?
My shoulder is okay. A little bit pain.
Now, are you going to stop doing that after Dana said he doesn't want you to do that anymore? Because everybody wants to see you fight. Nobody wants to see you get hurt after the fight.
Yeah, I have to take care. I have to hold myself to not have like too strong celebration.
Yeah, just kind of maybe thumbs up, maybe walk around calmly, thumbs up the audience, something like that.
He was doing the worm,
yes.
Jimmy. Johnny, do you do
yes.
do you do that in the dance club, in the disco? Do you do the worm?
Where?
In the discotheque.
When you're dancing.
Know.
In the discotheque?
In
1978?
In the club.
In the club. I know there might be an English thing. Johnny.
Sorry, Johnny. Matt's very old. In the discotheque.
No, it's okay.
I'm trying to explain.
No, I never win money by this, but I'm here. Maybe if I need it, I can do
it. All right. He's not bad at it. He might have just hit Matt the wrong way.
Now, you want Johnny, before you fought, you wanted to be a professional soccer player?
Professional what?
You wanted to play soccer when you
football.
Were a kid?
Football.
Soccer? No, no. I only play football when I'm young. And basketball, volleyball. I love sports, you know, then I always try different one.
What got you into mixed martial arts?
When?
Yeah, yeah. What got you into it? Was it just growing up in the neighborhood you grew up in, or what made you want to train?
I started late. I started with like 18 years old, Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. Then I don't have too many experience, but I still learn every day.
You seem to really enjoy fighting. You seem to enjoy the walkout. You seem to enjoy every moment of it.
Yes, of course. I love it, fight. I love, you know, because I train so hard to make it like a very good, impressive show. I train for this. Then I have to enjoy my moments, you know, because the bad part is the training, the diet. Every night I can go out, I can drink, you know, I have to be focused. Then the time, the day of the show, I have to enjoy. I have to be 100% happy, you know, because this time I'll be happy.
And do you really walk around? You said your walk around weight is about 240 pounds.
Say again, please.
Yeah, normally when you walk around at about 240 pounds. That's your normal weight.
My normal weight?
Yeah, like for just your day to day weight.
Yeah, my normal weight is 230.
Have you ever thought of moving up?
No. Maybe in future I can go to heavyweight, but now I still light heavyweight until the belt.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I mean, who do you have your eye on now? I mean, I'm sure you saw Jones and Anthony Smith, and Anthony Smith put up a very valiant fight, but I thought Jones was very dominant. What did you think of that fight?
Say it again, please.
What did you think of the Jones-Anthony Smith fight?
What I think about?
Yeah, did you? What was your? What did you think about that fight? About their fight?
I wait for more, you know, because everybody waits more this fight with some like knockouts or submission. Not let for the heavy hands. Everybody waits like impressive fights, but it's not too impressive, you know, like. A little bit disappointed.
A little disappointed. Now you're ranked.
Disappointed. Yeah. Disappointed.
Now you're ranked. You were number 15. Misha Serkinov was 14. So you're going to move up in the ranks. And a lot of people think Thiago Santos might get the next shot at John Jones. Who do you have your eye on now? Is there anybody you're looking at to fight?
No, I'm not rushed to fight against John. I know I can give you a proper fight to him, but I need more experience. I need to test myself. I'm not rushed, you know. I'm young. I wanna beat everybody in front of my before I meet John's.
That's very honest. A lot of fighters wouldn't say that. You think you need a couple of more fights before you are get to John Jones?
Yeah, of course.
Well, Volkan Oezdemir is fighting Dominic Reyes. I would love to see perhaps I would love to see you and Reyes fight, but the winner of that fight and you, either one of those guys, is a great matchup for you.
Say it again, please.
Volkan Oezdemir is fighting Dominic Reyes, and I would love to see you fight the winner of that fight.
Well, Lucas, entendi nada que falou aqui. Lucas will help me because
that's okay.
The cow is no great.
That's okay.
Hey guys, I can translate for him. Portuguese.
Yeah, no problem. Look, that's good. I was just saying that Volkan Oezdemir is fighting Dominic Reyes, and I would love to see Johnny take the winner of that fight.
Okay. O Volkan Oezdemir vai lutar contra o Dominic Reyes. Eles estão falando que a Marinho vê você contra o vencedor dessa luta.
Oh, yes, of course. Anyone.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reyes looks really good.
It's no problem. It's no problem for me.
No problem for you?
Yeah.
Do you worry, because like at one point Ronda Rousey was finishing a lot of her fights very quickly, do you worry about finishing all these fights in the first round that it's going to either affect and make you overconfident or going to affect your cardio?
I'm not worried. I won't fight three rounds because how long I'll stay in the octagon, more experience I will have, you know. Yeah. Then I hope next time I make like 3 rounds. Will make me happy if I fight 3 rounds. I'm ready for 3 rounds.
It would make you happy. You're a very unpredictable guy to watch, too. You seem like you're very hard to prepare for because you're comfortable throwing a spinning back fist or doing a flying knee, and you're a hard guy to figure out.
Yeah, yeah, man. I trained so hard, you know, like I trained for 3 rounds and nothing happened in 3 rounds. This disappointed me.
Well, I'm sure that somebody will take you. You know, I'm sure that one of your fights will go. And they have not mentioned to you who you might be looking at fighting next?
I don't know. I have no name in my mind now. And anyone, anywhere, anytime, only call me, send in the location.
Well, we love watching you fight, man. Congratulations on the win. And I'm looking forward to watching you. I know Matt loves you, too.
Yeah,
and
Johnny, big fan, Johnny. We're loving your fights.
Very exciting to watch you fight.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I hope I come back soon.
You will. I mean, you look like you're a future champion. So we'll definitely talk to you again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye. Take care.
Yeah, he's a really fun guy to watch.
You see this?
What's that?
What happened? I'll help you.
Oh, you know? Matt's wearing heels.
All right, he's gonna do this. No fucking weird. I don't need this on my head. It's not like I can't hear what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, it's okay. All Chris right? just lifted it. It happens. Yeah. We all get tangled
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, you know, we get tangled sometimes. I feel better. I think my ADD wore off.
Did it? Yeah. I had to go a little slower. It just gets hard.
Huh?
It's hard with the language barrier a little bit.
Dude, I did not want too many cooks in the kitchen with that interview.
No, you could have said
he was good, but I think, you know, it can be a little rough.
I've been to Brazil. I should have asked him where he was from in Brazil. That's the best part of the interview. Now is doing the things I should have asked because I've been down there 3 times.
Are these brothels the only thing? See, brothels.
Oh my God, your question. So, you go to the discotheque.
Well, listen, I didn't know what word to use. I was thinking of
the hop. You should have said when you go to the hop.
Did you ever see what's the matter, Chris the Producer? You really fucked up. Ah, look at Chris the Producer!
How did this happen? He's like a cat.
I want to see this. Where's my... Chris the Producer.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Ah, look at this. What is it, tool time?
What are you doing, Chris?
What happened, Chris?
How bad did Matt fuck this up? What is happening? It's like a child. Matt, you're like a child. How did you do that? The wire's all tangled up.
Come on, Jimmy.
Chris, what happened?
And we have a guest here, Jimmy.
I know. I apologize. This is humiliating, Randy.
Randy, we're sorry, Matt.
Sorry.
We apologize. That's Matt. I'm not talking to myself. That's
it's okay.
Randy's friend, Matt.
Yeah. Okay. I've never seen... I've been doing radio since probably 18 years. I've never seen a person fuck the cord up that bad.
Yeah.
That's better.
You know why? Because I think it was underneath and I kept rocking back and forth like a big baby.
That's okay. You're comfortable.
All right. I like to be comfortable, Jimmy. All right, Randy, we're starting the show right now.
I hope his shoulder's fine, man. Thank you. I can't wait to watch him fight again. He is a fun guy to watch.
Oh, he's fun. He's just... And I like him because... He makes funny faces and stuff.
Hey, let me ask you guys about the Usman-Woodley fight. What do you think it was that, because Woodley is such a dominant champion, what do you think it is that Usman, did he just seem hungrier, or what do you think happened to Woodley where he got shut down so completely?
Well, I think it was the threat of the takedown, and it's not like he was shy. I mean, he was always expecting the battle off Kamaru's takedowns. So when he felt that first initial exchange, when he got him up against the cage and stuff, I mean, that's a lot. Once you get that blood into the muscles, that's going to be enough to slow you down a little bit. Or you're thinking, all right, I want to try to take him down. I want to try to let go of my hands. But every time I do, this guy's in on me, and I know what that feels like. So it might make you a little hesitant.
It does, right? Know? Okay.
Anything you seen with that, Randy Brown?
For me, I think it's just classic Tyrone Woodley, man. Tyrone Woodley has a tendency to be a very slow starter. You know, he doesn't put out very much output. You know what I mean? And when he have a guy like that with a big wrestling threat, like you said, walking you down, I feel like it's hard to deal with. You know, especially you remember when he fought Rory McDonald? It was a similar fight, except for it was on the feet. You know, he didn't really throw much and he backed up the whole time.
Cute. I think we have to give credit, and I was talking about this with Ray Longo. And you know, I hate to give any kind of compliments to
Ray Longo.
To my good friend Dean Thomas.
Yes,
but let me tell you something. He was really good. He was really, really good in that corner. Yeah. He was very honest.
He was.
He wasn't sugarcoating anything.
What was he saying?
I think it might have been round like 3 or 4. He was like, he was basically telling him, "Hey man, what are you gonna? What are you letting? You gonna let him fucking do this to you? You gonna let him do this to you?
You need to bite down on your mouthpiece and move forward.
Yes.
You have to bite down and move forward. Backing up, you're not gonna get anything done right now.
He was both technical and he was very honest. There's some fights where I watch between rounds when he's down 3 rounds.
Yeah.
You know he's. And they're not, and they're like, all right, you know, they're giving him some advice between rounds. But it's like, no, this is an all or anything shot. And if you listen to both Dean and Duke Rufus, that 5th round, they were as honest as could be, man. You got to put him out. They were telling him. I mean, it was just, but you could tell you can't say it's an off night for Woodley. But you could tell it looked in his mind
mentally,
when you saw
him
between rounds. It looked like a guy where it's like it looked to me like I remember if for myself it's like feeling like a bad sparring session. Like I'm like you just have those days where you just feel that you're just like this is maybe it's just because the other guy was way on. I mean Usman was way on. Usman was fighting brilliantly.
He was so good,
especially up against the cage. He was softening him up. Oh, first of all.
The body punches.
Hold on. Let's just address the ref.
Mark
Goddard. Yeah. arrogant. Oh, no, it's a fight. It's a fight, Camaro. It's a fight. He stood him up, and I think Joe Rogan pointed it out with that. He said something to him where, you know, get up. It's a fight, Camaro. What? Even Joe said that's an odd thing to say.
Right, because I think Camaro probably said, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, like, I'm working.
But first, it's a fight. He's fighting brilliantly, you ass!
Yeah.
What an ass!
He's beating the champion.
Ass! I'm whatever.
And John Anik actually went and had a little Twitter back and forth with him about that.
Oh, did and what? Oh, really? Yeah. Is there? Go ahead, let us hear about that.
Yeah, because, okay, so we can go through it. So somebody had tweeted, what do you guys think of Mark Goddard and his constant standing up of Woodley and Usman and Dean's allowing Jones and Smith to grind it out? And Anik replied to this fan or whoever, said, yes, wildly consistent. And Usman was working his ass off.
Yeah.
And Mark Goddard replied to that. And he said, the only thing wildly inconsistent is your and your commentator's recollection and observation of actual events.
Ugh.
I'll save my side for later.
Bars.
For what? For what, Mark Goddard? For your freaking book that's going to be coming out that no one can give a fuck about?
And Anik,
are you waiting for to say?
Anik replied, he said, I always try to be respectful. We are just calling it like we see it too. But there is an arrogance with which you deal with the fighters.
Oh, shit. Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he say a fucking arrogance?
He did. He said, but there is an arrogance with which you deal with the fighters, commentators, and many in the sport, and I find it off-putting. One man's take, and I'm quite sure you'll give yours for everyone to hear. Someone else commented to Anik, and then he kind of like clarified that.
Matt, what was the one Goddard stopped? The shit he just got... What fight did he? Don't tell me. He just stopped. Hold on. He was getting the thumbs up. He just didn't see it. It was Sam Alvey. And he was saying.
Yes.
And
yes.
He's saying he didn't. Was it Sam Alvey?
Yep. Yeah. It was the Jimmy Crute.
And he was saying that he didn't see the thumbs up. And I believe Goddard didn't see it.
Well, Alvey didn't want him as a ref before.
That's right. That's correct. Yeah.
Listen, I just think that you're telling this, you know, the quick stand ups are the quick stand ups. Then you're telling the guy it's a fight. Now, what do you want? So what do you. Now you're trying to say.
Maybe
you want
some money.
What do you want him to do with what Cody Garbrandt did? I love Cody. I'm not attacking him.
Yeah, but you mean go a little wild, yeah.
No, is that what you're trying to say? It's a fight? What are you trying to say? Don't take him down. Don't work. What do you think he's going to do? Take him down, just mount him and finish him? The guy's the fucking champ. He's being regarded as one of the best ever. When's the last time somebody took down Tyrone Woodley? When?
Yeah, Damian Maia didn't do it.
He has one of the best
I think he had a 96% takedown defense or something like that.
Fuck. Yeah. Right. He worked the hell out of that 4% that Camaro.
Yeah.
He was.
The body shots on the ground. Him. Those body shots on the ground. I mean, it was just relentless.
He was relentless. Was excellent. I love Henry Hoof in the corner. I thought he was. I liked everything he was saying. I love good corner work. Because there's a line with his. It's a combination of both technical and when you need it, motivation and just. You got to be in sync with your fighter, and they were definitely in sync. Because you know Camaro was tired, too. He had to be. That wasn't easy, what he was doing. Putting that dude down, keeping him down.
For five rounds.
He's getting up, putting him down again, and just for five rounds. He won every round. So he won every round.
When you're Tyron and you know that this is happening, and this guy, like that first round, and you know that he's just pounding you, what is the mentality when you're going into the second and third, and then he grabs you and he puts you down again, and you're just, oh, fuck. This again.
It has to be, I have to be more offensive. I can't wait for this person to be offensive. If the results are, I'm getting taken down every time he's pushing me back, I'm getting outstruck every time I take a step back, you cannot step back anymore.
Go ahead, Randy.
You just have to bite down on your mouth and move forward.
Yeah.
Dean Thomas was calling it. And you're saying, well, if I go to throw strikes, he's in on me. Well, that's where the feints come in. I think right. The feints mm-hmm. are very important mm-hmm. for that. Randy will tell you. You want to see when right. a guy's going to shoot, you give a little twitch, even a little turn of the hips, you'll see, oh, that guy's looking for an uppercut. That guy's looking to shoot then. It'll show you his hand.
He just, like you said, he just seemed like he was maybe flat. And I guess that happens to every fighter, right? You have a sparring session or whatever, you just don't feel yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Matt. In the post-fight press conference, Tyron said as much. You know, he made no excuse. He said, I came in ready. I wasn't hurt. It was like one of those bad dreams. I just couldn't do what I wanted to do.
Right.
I was looking for a place to put the uppercut. I just couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't find it.
Okay.
And that could be credit to Kamaru, obviously, sure. throwing him off.
I'm sure he was looking for it.
Yeah.
First of all, huge credit to Kamaru because there's one thing to talk about this game plan. There's another thing to execute it.
For sure.
And he did it, you know, perfectly.
He was really great, man.
He did it perfectly. Every round, I like after every round between court rounds, Henry's telling him, all right, now look at him. Look at him. Look, he's throwing the stool. He wasn't even yelling like that. He's more, I get more worked up than him. But he's like, okay. And he's telling him, look at him. Like, just look at across. And they were so in tune with each other. I really, really enjoyed watching that. And Kamaru, as tired as he looked between rounds, whatever it was,
never sat.
You couldn't
never
took the school. Poke when he's looking at Tyron. Hey, man, you would never have known he was tired. And Tyron was looking a little worse to wear. You could see it. You could read it. And you know Kamaru was reading it. The only thing that might have been throwing Kamaru off is when the guy closest to the action is telling you it's a fight. Fuck.
Is that the part he's talking about that was really arrogant?
Boo.
He's saying that.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean,
arrogant.
It's also, there's a fine line. I mean, I think the referee has to kind of have control of what's going on there. But I think you've seen it with Mark Goddard a couple of times where he
has no patience.
Yeah, exactly. He's too forceful or whatever you want to say. Yeah.
Is he a betting man? Is he a betting man? Because you never know.
By the way, Tyron Woodley had a not Tyron Woodley. I'm sorry. Kamaru had a fracture in his left foot in that fight.
Yeah, I heard.
He
about
was walking
that.
Around with a walking boot. He had a cortisone shot that week, so it's insane that he was able to go in and do that.
Are we going to go through each fight here?
Yeah, we can. By the way, can I also just give credit to Woodley too? He certainly was tired, but I think that was part of Kamara's game plan. He didn't gas out though. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions often when he goes into a fight that can he do five rounds, this and that. He was still trying through all five rounds. Yeah. It wasn't like he was completely gassed. You know?
He looked mentally like he couldn't do what he wanted. Right. And he looked defeated in a way, like mentally. He just didn't look like, he looked like when it was happening, like he was like, yep, okay, there's nothing I can fucking do about this.
Well, Kamaru was
incredible.
Kamaru was awesome. So
by the way,
huge congrats to him.
Colby Covington has got to be the first. I mean, because again, I don't particularly like Colby, but he was the interim champion and he does deserve the shot. Him against Kamaru, everyone is going to love to see that because they genuinely hate each other's guts.
It's been out now a little bit. You seen that little ruckus?
Yeah, the little.
I didn't see it. No, I would wait for the show.
Why don't you play it for us and show it because this is interesting.
Yeah.
Even Ali was involved, threw a punch at him.
That's what it was. I mean, Kamaru and Colby never touch each other during this. Yeah. They kind of like, I guess, ran into each other.
In Ali's defense, he threw that when Colby went up to him, though.
Yeah.
So.
But Dana did say, because apparently Colby was being. He was cage side. He had his interim belt or whatever. And Dana did go up to him a few times. And the last time he said, stop, you're getting the next shot. Don't fuck this up.
But what we're about to show now is not that.
No, I know.
This is after this,
was the next day in the casino. Is that right? Or after the fight?
I think it was later that night. Honestly.
It might have been later that night. But have you seen this, Randy?
Yeah, I saw it last night.
I mean, it's interesting. I've seen it once, but then I had problems with my headphones. I couldn't fix it.
There we go. There's the
melee. I'm not going to play the audio because it's TMZ, but we can watch it here. Okay. So it's a TMZ video.
All right. So let's explain what's going on. There's Kamaru and his manager, Ali.
Yeah.
Where's Colby? Oh.
Now, who was coming after who? That's important.
Colby was just standing there.
Was he, though?
I don't know. I mean, so far. From this video, you know Colby never shuts up. But he really hates him. So.
He pulled out his phone instantly.
And he's talking trash. But this, I'll show you what's
And Kamara's trying to stop Ali. He's like, all right, enough. He's telling Colby to shut up.
I think that guy right there, the big dude, went to slap that phone out of his hand.
And Colby backed up a little bit.
But now Ali's talking to him. And then Colby goes over to Ali, and Ali threatened to throw him punches.
That's like a little.
But hold on.
That was a feint.
But look at this right here. Video. See that lady between him? Between him and Colby?
Yeah.
Now, Colby, you should be either walking away. I like the way he stays with this lady between him. That tells you a lot about Colby. Look. Now he's angling his body so the lady's right between him.
And at that point, wow. You can see Kamaru is going, I can just let him go. He's like, I don't have to keep holding him back, you know?
Yeah. But look at him standing between that lady.
Yeah.
All right.
Really? Nobody should be saying, hey, ma'am.
Hey, get out of the way,
miss. I don't want you to get hurt.
That's true.
But what he really wants to say is, don't leave, lady.
Is that Dan Lambert
Please
there?
Don't leave. No. Let me see. That's not Dan
Lambert. No, it's not. I couldn't say.
It's a bouncer or something. Security. But that's the dude that got in between because that other guy's with them. The other big black guy's with them. So I think he went to slap that phone. But then the further the way they get, then all of a sudden his balls are growing again. Colby, listen, I think it's great. Look at him. Is that his mom? Who is that lady in front of him?
I don't know. I don't know what they're in line for.
He's begging him.
But now, the further he gets and he knows there's a couple of guys there. And that's what it is. That's the problem with Colby, though. You want to be about that life, you're going to run into these guys. And when you run into these guys, if you're still talking your shit, chances are you're going to get smacked, man.
Now, why does Ali hate him so much? Just from the stuff with Kamaru?
Yeah, I mean, Ali's tight with his guys, and I don't know. Fucking Colby's an asshole.
Yeah, I think he just annoys him.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, the guy's an ass.
I'll tell you one thing, though. He is going to... Everybody wants to see this fight.
Dude,
I really want to see him and Usman fight.
Well, exactly. That was, you know...
Brilliant promotion.
Brilliant promotion for the fight.
That's great for both guys.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know that they're going to fight next now because the whole world wants to see that.
Absolutely. Because neither of these guys, like Kamaru is not the big, he's a huge name in UFC, but outside of UFC, there's a lot of fighters that guys don't know who are not necessarily hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who people are starting to get to know.
Yeah.
But now with stuff like this happening, people just kind of feel like, yeah, I want to watch this.
And we've had Kamaru on a bunch. He's great. Awesome. And he's a really nice guy. He's a great guy. So this is going to be a really interesting build-up to that fight.
Down and then we'll work
Did we talk about John Jones, Anthony Smith?
No, you want to talk about it now?
Sure.
Why don't we just do it? Yeah, why don't we work our way down? Sure.
All right.
Because, by the way, so our picks for Woodley
and
Usman.
I know, I was wrong.
Jimmy Norton had Tyron Woodley by fourth round knockout.
Wait, hold on.
We'll get there.
Stoppage.
Hold on. You want to say you?
I had Tyron by second round knockout, and Serra,
Jimmy, look at me
had
now.
The new champion by
did.
Decision.
Yeah, did.
I'm such a braggart, man. I'm sorry.
I know why I picked him in the fourth, because
I'm
twice
sorry,
against
I'm not
Wonder
a good
Boy,
winner. Jimmy, I'm not a good winner.
Or loser, or person. So I think twice I had him picked in the
fucking nice.
Twice that he did into Wonder Boy in the fourth round. So he had two explosive fourth rounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
And didn't happen this time. But I was happy for Kamaru. I really like him. So
really
good
happy.
For him.
I'm really happy.
He was incredible. That was, I didn't think I would ever see Tyron Woodley dominated so completely.
That was amazing.
I'll tell you right now, though, when he came out to I'll beat your ass, I was fucking, I was in my crib, and I was doing, is that cool, Randy, when I say crib? And let me tell you, dude, this shit was fucking lit, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to up.
It was very cool. He's trying to sound younger.
I was good. That was good.
Trying to sound younger.
Yeah, like discotheque.
All right.
Yeah, discotheque.
I'm trying to make up with discotheque.
Hey, when you're at Studio 54.
You ever hear what he listens to? He listens to good music.
Oh, you know, that's true.
He does listen to all his music.
Who does?
Matt. A lot of hip hop, you know, some good stuff.
He knows I'm not a fake.
He also loves Post Malone. That's the other one.
It's true. You were strangling somebody in Sunflower last week, Randy Brown. It is true. We have my music brings good energy, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. Randy? I mean.
Yeah, it does. I love it.
Thank you. I don't think he would just say that. Okay, let's get to the fight.
Jones, Smith. We all have Jones.
You,
No.
No, Matt had Anthony Smith by first round knockout.
Jimmy knew. First of all, Jimmy knew that.
I actually did not.
Why are you guys saying that like that? You're going to look at the Lionheart again in the face. And I hope you look. I hope you laugh at him.
When you picked it, I thought that if he was going to knock him out, if he was going to finish him, I think it would have been first.
Nah, I knew there's no way because Jones is too smart and he's going to keep throwing that oblique kick.
Of course you did, Mystic Mac.
Well, he knows he's not going to let Anthony Smith close to him. He's never gotten the fourth and fifth round. You figured Jones would try to wear him down a little bit.
And me and Jimmy both had John Jones by third round knockout. Obviously went to a decision.
Yeah.
Well, listen, props to Anthony for, yeah, you know, taking the champ 5 rounds, you know. And John Jones is awesome. What are you going to, that guy is just,
it's just knows how to
right
win
now.
A fight, yeah.
He knows how to win. He's on plays the top the of his game. Yeah. On the top of his game.
He's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's true.
So congratulations to John.
How about Robbie Lawler?
Now this.
I really thought until I really thought that his arm dropped. I guess I it looked to me like he was out.
It was an understandable stoppage. I believe it was a bad stoppage, yeah, but it was understandable.
That's good. That's a great way of putting it. It was bad in hindsight, but when they stopped it, not for nothing.
Herb Dean's done that a few times.
You've seen his arm, but his arm wasn't moving, though. So it's like, that's a...
There was a thumbs
and
up.
Then they say, oh, just let a guy go out, and when it's broken up, what, and Dana was saying this, when a sure sign is when somebody's put out or going out, when you get let it go, the guy shouldn't be just jumping back up. So yeah, it was bad, sure, but the sign of somebody going out is when you touch their arm and they're not responding.
Yeah.
So I understand. I don't know. Could you want to put it on? Or,
yeah, it was so fast.
He gave a thumbs up, but
I didn't see that.
He 100% did.
Okay.
Yeah. He did give a thumbs up?
Yes, yes he did.
And he'll see.
And he was, by the way,
wow.
I had him picked for that first round knockout, and he was, I really thought they were going to stop that fight. I'm sorry, Askren, to his credit, fucking hung in there because I thought he was finished.
Yeah, that's the other question of it, right? Because I had Robbie by first round knockout. Matt, you had Ben by decision, so you get the point there, but it did seem like it was very, very close to being stopped when Robbie dropped him and was landing shots on the ground.
Man, no, Robbie, he looked like a beast, man. Yes. He was on. That was a fun-ass fight, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It was fun. But you know what's so odd is it's how his coach, his longtime coach, Pat Miletich, back in the day, that's how he lost his title at UFC 31 to Carlos Newton by a bulldog choke. It's a little fun fact, guys. That's my little Snapple top cap, top fucking fun fact.
So there's about 2 minutes left in the first round, and this is the where
bulldog. That was bad. Yeah.
Hey, Matt, look. Yes. Look at his arm. You see what his right arm is? I feel like his right arm can't stay there. So it had
right
to
arm
drop.
On top.
Yeah, it had to come down at some point. It's a weird-ass angle. You know what I mean? Yeah.
See, we can't see the thumbs up.
I can't
up.
See the thumbs up.
They show
up.
The other angle. When he touches his hand, he puts a thumbs up.
As soon as the hand touches, he thumbs
but
up.
But his arm did drop.
But it dropped kind of funny.
Herb, I feel for Herb because Herb knows. Herb's not arguing that shit.
See, but this is the reaction. I mean, like, Robbie handled it very well, but he does not seem like he was anywhere near it.
I want to see that again.
Yeah.
Because his arm just dropped.
The replays are better. We'll see when they get some of the replays.
Boy, he fucking pound Askren, too. Let's see.
Look at this. I want to see his hand.
Watch his hand drop.
Yes, it is a weird
it
angle.
It looks like
Randy's
it falls.
Right. He can't hold it.
See, but watch. He moves his hand when it's down here. He's moving his hand. He's not out.
Let me see.
I thought, look.
Watch. Now, look, he moves it there.
Where's the thumbs up?
It was the other hand.
Did they show the other angle?
It was the other hand.
They show another angle.
I didn't see it there, but his arm, dude, his arm just
right here. You'll
flops.
See it here.
Oh, let's see the thumb.
You see, he gives a thumb.
So now he
see,
says
he's moving his
to
hand
him.
There.
Oh, he gave a thumbs
see,
up right there.
He gave a thumb right there.
He was moving his arm a little bit. I could see why Herb didn't see. Oh,
I mean, he's right up.
Well, listen, I think
also,
I think
that hurts, right? I mean, he's got it over the jaw. It's not like it's pleasant to have.
I thought he went out for a second, a half a second.
Chances are he could have, or he could have still went out, but we'll never know.
Right.
I think the smart. Who's not going to want to watch that again, though? I believe
no, he won't fight him again. Askren's already said no. He doesn't want to fight Robbie again.
Well, then who makes that decision, though?
Yeah, but Askren said he's not into it, but Dana was like, but that's the fight we want to make, so we'll talk about it.
Exactly.
You know, I think they should probably run that back, because
sure.
That second round would have been insane.
Listen, yeah. I'd like to see Askren fight anybody, though. It's not his fault that, like, to his credit, he weathered a lot.
He did.
And, you know, I'd like to see him fight. I'd like to see him fight the winner of Game Bread and Darren Till.
That's what he's talking about. That's what
Masvidal, I'd like to see him fight either one of those guys.
Yeah.
But I would definitely like to watch Robbie Lawler too. So, hey man, whatever they decide, I'm watching.
Yeah.
You know, fun fight though. This whole UFC was great.
Yes.
So I want to talk about some fights on the undercard too. So let's keep this going.
Wiley Zhang, I think I had her.
You did. You had her by third round knockout. Matt had Tisha Torres by decision. I had Wiley by decision, which is how she ended
up. She won by decision.
Yeah.
Somebody
did,
picked
sure
one
did.
Of them for knockout. Who picked her for knockout?
I put by third round knockout.
There's never any knockouts. When
I know there's
fight.
Not. I know.
Tell
once
him,
in
Randy.
A while, third round. I know. I just get sick of saying
Mason
decision.
Chason knocked somebody out earlier in the card.
Yeah.
It's rare.
It's rare. It's rare.
It is
for
rare.
Sure.
It's normally decisions.
If it's not Amanda Nunes or Cyborg.
Just Andrade.
You know, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually a decision or perhaps a submission. There's very rarely just a knockout.
Especially right. That small girls, yep. Like small yep. Ladies. True.
Then again, you look at Rose.
By the way, Wiley's post-fight interview was adorable. She was very she spoke English a little bit at the end. She said, "Wiley, remember me." She's very, very cute.
Christopher Daniels got a little crush.
I thought it was very sweet.
All right, let's talk about this now. Yeah, Cody and Pedro. Hey, man, props to Pedro Munhoz, but you know, man. I don't, this is what I don't like. I don't like that. First of all, Cody was looking good during
yeah.
Yes.
Some of that fight, but absolutely. Then he said, could you put it on? Could we see where the headbutt was?
Sure.
Because he's saying after that, he kind of just went into whatever,
autopilot. Yeah.
I'm not, but you gotta, it's always hard. Hey, listen, yeah, when you're it's hard
it's
to
tough.
Call it like that. It is, because you don't know it's what tough. He was feeling.
Is it possible that Cody, after having lost two straight fights, is getting a little over anxious for a win and just not being patient like he should?
I think, you know, I hate to like criticize fighters,
yeah, but
you know,
because
you know, in like Matt said, when you're in there,
sure.
it's different, you know. And for me, what I see, you know, and this is just one man's opinion, that this may not be it,
yeah.
But I kind of feel like he didn't evolve, like. Just make small adjustments, you know, small. He's losing the same way, the same exact way. You know, you're as a champion at that level, you know what I mean? A former champion, I feel like guys like that at his caliber, because he's very good.
Yeah.
You know, and he's fucking ferocious, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You need to make adjustments, and he's losing the same way. Hook, 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 hook. He's just throwing hooks.
You're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Like if he connected a little cleaner, you know, than Pedro, and, you know,
it could have went the other way,
and that's what he put all. He banked everything on
exactly.
that, and that's not that you're not going to get a great percentage.
It's part of that lack of patience. It seems like it's a bit of a lack of patience just to get it done. I'm wondering if the losses add up, and you start becoming a little like just over eager to you're pressing a
absolutely.
Little bit.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, but that's fighting, though.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to control your emotions.
Right.
When Aljo had Jimmy. He caught him with that back fist. Jimmy was staggering a little bit, and he had him up against the cage. It took Jimmy wasn't as hurt as he was a little off balance and getting tagged, but Jimmy wanted Aljo to kind of do what Cody did right there.
Right.
He wanted to put everything into putting him away and get a little closer for him to just unleash. And sure. He did come out. He did when he did spring, but Aljo was smart. He kept the range. He kept the range with the kicks, and then he picked his shots. And then when he did spring, Aljo, it was like he had a spider sense. He jumped exactly back when Jimmy went forward. But that's fighting. Like, if you don't have that, then how many times did you see a – maybe not a lot of times like Pat Barry and Chet Congo, but
right.
You see a guy almost hurt, and then they go for the kill, and they put everything into that kill, and then they run into, you know, unfortunately, my very good friend Pete Drago Sell, this might be the story of his career. He's such a guy, smell blood, and they get so ferocious, they just like, he's almost out, I must stop him. And they just, that's all they see is red. And that could be dangerous for you.
Yeah, and I'm always amazed at the patience some guys show. Because as a fan, when you're watching it and you see a guy hurt and then you see a guy not being as aggressive, you're like, I know he's showing patience because it's a smart thing to do. You want to see him just go in there and knock the guy out, but you're like, no, that's smart. He's being really patient.
Well, and the amazing thing, it's only three fights removed from when he beat Cruz.
Right.
And I thought he fought incredibly smart there. Yes. He didn't overthrow his shots. He was just landing. In fact, he didn't even jump on Cruz sometimes when it looked like he probably could have finished the fight. And that was a masterful performance. So it's like he can go back to that, but he keeps getting sucked into
the watch
fights.
The end of the fight with the headbutt,
sure.
too?
And by the way,
I'm not sure where the headbutt happened, so we can just watch it. But
and when John Jones fought DC and he hurt him, he did not just go to kill him. I remember he kicked his feet out, like he messed with his base.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference with the elitist. All right. So this is 2:15 of the first round.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but up until then, this, like, he's fighting. He's being patient.
Right.
And
yeah,
then let's see, when does it change?
I mean, I was going to say excuse, but I don't mean it that way. But saying he's on autopilot, that does make sense, though, right? That I mean,
I want to see the head, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah, Munhoz gets you could see blood's coming out the back of his head. I think that's what caused it.
Well, I mean, there's different drills you could do, whether it works or not. I went to go, oh, spinning kick by Pedro. Let me see here. Did that hurt him when he threw
it? I don't
know. No, he's still moving.
Seems fine. It looked worse than it was.
All right. So Pedro's being first right here. You know, there's a minute 25 left in that first round.
Yeah, sorry. I just don't know where the...
That's okay. I don't know.
Right. It wasn't a very long fight. Watching a little bit of it.
Watching a little UFC.
In a second. Yeah. So he's waiting to explode. I want to see that headbutt. That's what I really want
to
see.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I think they maybe go into a bit of a clinch against the fence. I think that's where it might be coming here, actually.
Oh, that, there it is.
That is what it was.
Yeah.
Wait, that was a headbutt?
Yeah, because he came up and he hit
him. Can I see that again, Chris?
Yeah,
I
let's bounce back. That was about just, a minute left.
I watch here. So it was like a downward.
I think he went to defend a takedown. He thought the takedown was coming.
It was kind of Cody's fault.
Yeah, he kind of, I mean,
he
you know.
His chin, I think.
It happened.
The dude's not at fault, you know, but.
Pedro's smart on the floor.
Pedro didn't like, he kind of put his head down Pedro's throat.
Well, this is where Pedro's biggest advantage seemed to be in the fight on paper, you know.
But then he seemed to be like, oh, Cody jumps up, throws a flying knee.
Now, Cody stood up. See, Cody might have felt like he hurt him.
Yeah.
He jumped up and hit him with that flying knee, and now he's just throwing hard hooks. He's throwing everything into this. But now, look, he's slowed down. Watch.
Yeah.
And he's
see, all hooks. There's no sophistication there. It's all hooks, yeah.
No, but he did another
knee, another flying knee.
But now Pedro looks way better to wear right here. Look, Pedro's better now. Look, Cody put out more.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that if he did not put him away right there, he, you know, if he made it out of that round, that's going to take your energy bar took a hell of a hit.
Yeah. Mm.
When you try to put a guy down, that's part of the problem, I feel, with the, not to jump around, I do want to talk about that Mickey Gall fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Randy fought him also. I want to talk about his fight with Diego Sanchez because there's a lot that stood out with that. And, you know, a big part of fighting is when to know to put your foot on the gas and keep it on and when to take it off, when to idle a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because if it's hard to keep certain pace, and it's hard unless you really felt how tiring it gets. It's like, yo, like go, could you go to the Mickey Gall fight for a second?
Sure.
Not to skip around, but it's on, and you know.
You want to, you just want
to
look.
Go right. Just go right. Oh, to, yeah. Just I want to look at the picture. Yeah. There you go. Let's talk about this fight for a second, guys, really quick.
But by the way, we all had Cody in that fight. So we all got that wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who do you in the Mickey fight? Who did you have? I had Mickey win.
We didn't actually pick. We don't pick. We usually just pick the main card.
Oh, okay.
But
you had Mickey. Sorry.
Yeah, I had him. I had him. I thought he was going to beat him.
Thoughts on the fight?
Ah, man, it's like he just fought like shit. You know, he didn't have a good game plan, and he showed his inexperience. You know, I think he came out way too hard, swinging. You know, and giving. Putting too much emphasis on striking. Go to your bread and butter, which is your grappling. Be offensive with your grappling. You know, you're not the best striker. You know what I mean? You've been working on it, and I understand you want to show it. You know, but I feel his best bet would have been to kind of like pace himself, be more patient, and look for the takedown.
Out-grapple him.
Out-grapple him. Instead, he got out-positioned. So,
Jimmy?
I agree.
When I started watching this fight, and I was like, yo, and I know he's been working with Joe Schilling. See, this is what Mickey has going for him. What he has going against him is the lack of experience. Mm-hmm. And that does show at times, like it showed in this fight.
Yeah.
But what he has going for him is that he knows how to fight.
Yes.
And he knows how to fight. He was doing a lot of things I felt right in the first round besides gauging it, besides the...
Can we see something?
Conserving his energy a little bit. When you watch that first minute and 20 seconds, when I first started, the stuff he was throwing, you have to be, not only, you have to be kind of tough. He was throwing his stuff with just abandonment. Ah, hard leg kick, hard high kick, you know, laying into his punches. Doing it at the right time, but putting a lot into it.
Yes,
but look, I remember being like, all right, this is a good fight for him to do this with because he'll have an advantage standing.
Yes.
I did not factor that he would get tired if he could keep that up for three rounds. One takedown, made all, Diego, the first minute and a half was getting outgunned standing. And I'm like, wow, if this keeps going,
yeah,
it's a matter of time. I feel there's things that you could pick apart, like as like a coach, and that's what they're gonna do with and it's at the, in the long run. I mean, he's not a bitch, man. He didn't go. He didn't go. The ref broke it up. He wasn't in that quick tap club. And Diego is as dangerous as they. Yeah. He's Aljo Sterling, dangerous with mount and back. He's that. I mean, guys keep BJ Penn. Guys get that position. Mount position. They're not Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
It's rough, man. And Mickey was trying to do a lot of the right escapes, and then he was trying to almost power out a little bit, and Diego was everywhere, just heading them off.
Isn't it amazing how long Diego's been fighting?
20 fights.
Look at the size difference.
20 UFC fights. Jeez.
I mean, like right there, he's got the double on the hooks. He threw into the clinch. But even right here, when he's throwing his right hands, he's putting a lot into it.
Yeah.
But if you heard Mickey, I think Mickey said that he had a tough cut and whatnot.
He did. He said he passed out during the weight cut, and then he had a really hard time. So, I mean, you can see that. I mean, his striking looked good.
I thought it looked a lot better. Look,
I think it's too much. Like, if you're not primarily a striker, you don't have a background in striking, then you're a grappler, don't give so much because you don't understand how to maneuver and move and pace yourself and throw certain punches. Some punches take more than other punches.
Right, and especially a guy like Diego where you got to like hit him in the head with a shovel.
But yeah, pick your shots. Finish,
you know, yeah. Well, that was the other thing. I mean, Mickey obviously is known as a grappler. His striking does look improved, but sometimes don't you run the risk of falling in love with the technique that you're working on most recently versus going to the thing that got you there?
You fall victim to your critics, and you know, I feel like this is one of those things where, you know, critics are like, oh well, he needs to work on his striking, we want to see his striking, what's his striking like, his striking sucks, you know, and then you go out and you want to prove to them, you know, I say fuck that, man, just do what you do and you know, and improve on your own until it's time. Don't rush it, you know, just improve on your own.
In other words he could be using his jiu-jitsu and his wrestling to counter Diego, his takedown, his offense, and then get off his strikes. That would be more, you know, energy conserving.
The kid has great jiu-jitsu. He does. Like, I've grappled with him before.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey's a brown belt, I think, right?
Yeah. And very good. And even when we fought, you know, he's tough, but he just didn't make the right decisions here.
Look at this. This makes a huge difference here. Like, when Tegu got that first takedown, he has got such good pressure.
Yeah.
Some old school, hips forward. He's been on the receiving end of submissions for how long?
Right.
Because he's been rolling for so long that he's used to just swatting it away and getting position. I'll tell you, the problem also here and what Mickey felt is he did such a high volume and he exerted so much energy on his feet. He never had a time to get a breath of air.
Right.
Look, you're going to see him do a Gramby roll. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 10 guys maybe in this division. Look at that beautiful takedown. What was that kind of takedown, that trip, Randy? Around the waist, and it was a backwards trip. There's got to be a name. That was fucking, he did
it
twice.
I don't know the name, but it's
two or three times beautiful during this fight. And it made such a huge difference in this fight because look how he got him down, and he's so much bigger than Diego. Now and look, Mickey, that Gramby roll. You see that Gramby roll he did? But look, but Diego kept his hands locked, and he's still on his back. Jimmy, most guys, rewind that for a second with that Gramby roll.
Yeah.
For most guys, a little bit more. Now, when he gets up, now watch when Mickey's going to roll over his left shoulder. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, was it right shoulder?
No,
left shoulder. It was his left.
Yeah.
He rolled with him and kept his hands.
Yeah.
If locked, Diego, most guys are not keeping that grip and rolling with them.
No.
That's
especially the way Mickey had his foot. You saw he had his foot. He shouldn't have been able to come over.
And Mickey should have been able to get on top from there. And if he would have got on top with his jiu-jitsu, he could have got a better position. And at least it would have got him some time to get some energy back, some air in his lungs. Look where he is now. Now he's in his guard with crazy Diego Sanchez on top of him, looking to elbow him in the face. So Mickey never gets a chance to take a break. Now he's elbowing his body, Diego.
Big body, stomach elbows, yeah.
Oh, man. And then everything that now he's trying to defend himself.
There's about a minute left in the round.
This whole 55 seconds, he's not going to stop moving. Who's spending more energy now?
Right.
Diego or Mickey still?
Mickey, for sure.
So this is where experience comes into play. And it's basically him doing a 5-minute just burning energy. You You're throwing hard. You're grappling hard. Now you got a minute to get that back. Look at the way the next round starts. Where did, he comes out as aggressive.
Where does Mickey bite him? Diego showed a bite mark.
I think I see.
On the chest. What part of the fight did he bite him in?
Maybe he
did he really bite him?
There's a bite mark.
Bite him?
Yeah.
It looks like it. I can show you the picture. I mean,
unless it was an accident, but it seems like legit.
You'd have to talk to him. Because sometimes it's out of
desperation.
Yeah, it's out of like you're trying to breathe.
Can't breathe, yeah.
Right. So who knows? Maybe we could see. But Diego has, look, Diego.
Yeah, Mickey's landed a few elbows, but.
Oh, man. I mean, so yeah, Mickey, like I said, he knows how to fight. It's all about getting the experience about how much to put out, how much to take the foot off the gas, and just be a little calmer. But that comes with experience. We're seeing this kid get all his experience before the world. Yeah. So it's kind of rough.
He looks really...
he's gassed right now.
And then Diego just marches towards him.
Yeah, that's what you don't want to see.
See, Diego does not... He'll keep that same pace for three rounds. So he's not going to get any more tired. So it's like... Now, Mickey, you could tell Mickey's he's tired. You could just tell the way he's walking. He's moving forward still, but it's winding, man. So I don't know if you want to watch the whole thing, but when he does get him down, he just stays on him.
And he drops some very heavy elbows on his forehead. Yeah.
What I do like about Diego, and this again comes with experience, you watch some of his other fights when he fought Joe Stevenson and they're having like a shitty boxing match. And I'm not shitting on him. I really love Diego. But his stand-up, he didn't have the heaviest of hands. No. I mean, he caught Joe Riggs that time, but, you know, he's got a decent left kick. He's got a nice knees that come up that I think he caught Mickey with also. But he's not a heavy, heavy-handed guy. He's a durable guy, but when he plays to his strength, which is jiu-jitsu, his wrestling and jiu-jitsu, his ground and pound is fucking brutal. His jiu-jitsu for mixed martial arts is excellent. Yeah. So, I mean, that's when this is Diego. He even said it. This is Diego Sanchez that won the Ultimate Fighter back in the day. And that's the one that we know and love, and that's the most dangerous version of Diego.
How old is he? Is he 34, 35?
I think late 30s, yeah.
Yeah, we can double check.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see his interview afterwards?
Big fan.
His backstage interview was amazing, man.
He's talking about anti-aging?
Yeah.
I
actually liked that, man. It was about 14 minutes long. It was solid. It was a good interview. It makes you like him, you know? He's really likable. Yeah.
When he said anti-aging, he was talking about what things he wants to do to slow down the aging process.
Yeah, he's like hanging out with some guy that can stop his heart rate, you know, and sit in ice like minus 100 degrees.
Is that the guy that Joe interviewed? There was one
guy. Wim Hof, I think.
Yeah, this. He's a guy that can just handle. He walks like in barefoot in cold weather.
Yeah,
that might.
He can control his heart rate and shit like that.
Yeah,
crazy.
But is that teachable or is that just something you can do?
No, he says that humans are meant for like crazy things. Like we kind of like shut ourselves off. This is the theory, you know what I mean? This is what they say, that we shut ourselves off from being able to do a lot of the things that the human body can actually do.
Right. But do we need to do it? I mean, let's be honest. Anti-aging, cavemen died when they were 30. You know, the fucking Romans didn't live that old.
Yeah, not. And it's being able to tap into the subconscious parts of your brain and
your third eye.
Yeah, exactly. Make it do things that it normally does on its own, like autopilot. You can tap into that.
They say shrooms help with that.
Do they?
That's what they say.
I never did psychedelics, Jimmy.
I didn't either.
Me neither.
That would be against your that you can't do psychedelics.
Well, no. When I was younger and I was doing drugs and drinking, I probably just did mescaline, but no one would do acid
with
me.
Goodness, I'll do acid with you, Jimmy.
No,
I don't want to. I'm kidding.
I would be such a fucking bummer on acid. I would be the worst. Bad trip.
You might kill me or something. I don't like. I don't want to trip out, Jimmy.
Yeah,
you know, I'm against drugs. Let's party. What are we up to now, guys?
Jeremy Stevens and Zabit Magomed Sharipov.
I guess we already talked about Johnny Walker being a stud.
Well, that's yeah.
Oh, wait. Which order are you going
with? I'm just working our way down. This is our last pick, down. Too, we did, too. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Jeremy has nothing to... Jeremy Stevens has nothing to, you know, keep his head down about. No. I thought it was a good fight. I thought it was a close fight, you know? And it was a great, great... test and a great experience for Zabit to see what's next for him. He's crafty, man. He is.
I like his footwork. His stand-up is amazing.
It's wild.
His footwork is good. His range is good. And he just does everything right, you know, as far as stand-up.
Yeah, and Jeremy was ready for it, too. We talked to him last week. He talked about his spinning attacks and all these wild things. Yeah. And he was ready for it, and it was still effective.
Yeah, for sure. I would have liked to have seen a fourth round. Again, we talked about it with the Kyle Lochneck fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What round did Jeremy win? I thought he won the second round. Am I remembering that wrong?
Might have been the third.
Was it the third?
Yeah, it was the third. Okay. I think that's where Zabit looked like he slowed down maybe a little bit, unless he thought he was already winning, so it was okay.
Maybe he would pace differently in a five-round fight, though.
Jeremy was always in the fight.
Yes, he was.
Always throwing bombs, man.
You know? Well, big ups for both guys, you know? I'm excited to see what's next. Let's keep going.
And our Johnny Walker, Misha Cirkunov fight. I mean, Jesus, who saw that ending in the first round? Flying knee. He's really fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, very explosive. And he's only 26, which is wild, man.
20 fights already.
Yeah, he's really only been training for like 5 years.
He has to stop that worm at the end. It's awful. I don't enjoy it. I don't like Jacare's fucking giant alligator. I hate that shit.
Jimmy, what moves do you do in the discotheque? Can I keep saying it so it's not
old? I bring in cardboard, and I do fucking head spins like it's 1987. I do old breaking moves.
Do you, Jimmy?
Yes, I do.
The robot?
That's right. Oh, I love the robot. I'm very good.
You love the robot in Doom Patrol?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's the DC show on the DC app.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Chris Medusa goes, cool. You know what's sad when Chris is goofing on me?
Are you a comic book guy, Randy? Matt loves comic books. I used to like them, but I used to collect them.
I'm an anime guy.
Oh, you like anime? Do you like anime porn?
Maybe when I was about 13.
Yeah. Oh, you were younger, you did, yeah. Isn't that weird, though?
Like, anime guy.
Where they'll have a girl like, oh, no. Guy with fucking like, 8 penis tentacles.
What is it about? Jimmy, wait, what?
Anime porn's crazy.
I don't think I'm into that.
No.
But anime, for some reason, I can't get into. My brother-in-law likes it. Edwin likes it.
Edwin loves it.
What is it with you guys with that? Not you guys. This comes out wrong.
What do you mean, Matt?
Yeah.
Edwin's a black gentleman. That came out wrong. Why do you guys like that? Is it a black guy thing? Get Aljo on the phone. Does Dean Thomas like it?
No, wait. Do you watch anime or do you read the comic books?
No, I don't. So I'm not into any of the comic books or anything. I just watch them, man. I'm not like hardcore, but I watch like Naruto, Dragon Ball Z.
Can we see a little anime just to watch it? Is it Japanese animation? Is it?
All right, you got to start with like the classics, like Akira. You ever seen Akira?
Akira? No, I'm sure I've heard of it.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
Is it popular?
I don't know why. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know. It's cool.
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And there's a new one with the One Punch Man.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's cool.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I don't know why. The animation is just different.
Some of them are shitty as hell. You got to be in the community to find the right ones.
Yeah?
Yeah. But
Edwin's into it. He's really into it. I remember one time they called it a cartoon movie, and he got all bent out of shape. He's like, "Oh, it's anime or whatever." You call it anime.
What do they love? What do you like about it so much? Is it just interesting the way they do it?
I guarantee anime, 90% of fighters have watched anime, and anime has inspired us growing up. Dragon Ball Z,
Is this stuff new or is it old? Yeah.
This is old. This is like one of the very first ones. This is Akira.
You think it's generational?
I don't know if it's generational.
You know?
I don't know. Maybe it's the 90s. 90s, late 80s type of thing.
Okay.
You know, once I start watching it, I kind of like it. It's like overboard, like with stuff. No, with the anime, it's like
it's just sick, man. It's just the things that the things that they can do. You know what I mean? You can't do it, you know. But it's kind of like it's just cool to watch.
Why is there so much wind?
It's like
a
fight. It's like a fight. You know, it's dramatic. Yeah. It's a fight. You know what I mean? But it's like, all right, I punch you in the face, and you fly through a fucking building or some shit. You know?
Did you ever see the Flashpoint Paradox? It's almost like anime. It's a DC. I'm saying it's a cartoon movie. Edwin might say, no, it's anime. But I don't think it was anime. He said I said, I don't want to misquote him. But he said something like it can't be called a cartoon movie because cartoons are for kids.
Yeah.
I don't know what the
anime
fuck
is not for kids.
So. Anime isn't for
kids.
It's
not.
Some of those DC ones aren't either. They're getting killed.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to
who was the one that showed Batman's penis? Did you see that one?
No, you're way off.
They did.
You should see the Flashpoint.
That might have been a
paradox.
They did show Batman's penis in a comic book. You think I'm lying?
I think you're lying.
Look up Batman's penis comic. It's true.
No, don't do that.
No, look it up.
Why do you want to do that?
Because I want you to know I'm not lying.
It's okay. We believe you.
All right.
Let's look it up. It's not a bad size for a superhero.
Tim
Means
suit.
Yes, we are.
And he's fighting
Nico
Price.
Yeah, that was my last fight.
And you were doing great with that fight. And what? Fucking laces out. No? But no? Not really.
Man,
it was more of a weird thing.
Such a wild finish.
You know, he lost that fight. You remember how he lost it?
It sucks.
It's odd.
I don't want to sound bitter or anything.
It's an odd, listen, know, man.
What?
It is an odd thing when you're doing the right thing and next thing you know, something comes out of left field. That's this game. It's
very treacherous.
It is. It's heartbreaking because you're like, man, I'm on top. I'm doing the right thing. I'm keeping my base. It's not getting my leg. Where the fuck did that come from? Yeah. So it's one of those, man, you know? What are those?
I was talking about it yesterday. It's like 1 minute. Because I've never been knocked out before or anything like that. So, like, you kind of, like, you get hit and then you just, like, actually, you don't even remember getting hit. You just kind of, like, you're just there at what point. And next thing you know, you're looking at the doctor and you're like, whoa, hell no. There's so no way.
You immediately know just because of you're looking at the doctor. You're like, yeah, this,
immediately.
I know.
Immediately. I saw the doctor and I was just like, get the fuck out of here. No way. You know, it's like, hey, it is what it is. Yeah. But I'll beat that guy 99 times out of 100. That's just how I feel. Sure. But, you know.
You'd fight him again if you could.
Oh, hell yes.
He was doing well on that one.
Yeah, you were. And you could, but I mean, you couldn't have possibly thought that he was going to be able to knock you out from the position he was in, right?
No,
I mean,
no way. Oh, no way. And you know what happened? So basically, he threw his leg over. I thought he was going for a heel hook.
Yeah.
I turned out the cage was in my way.
Right.
And he put his foot. His foot was right there. So as I turned back, because I couldn't stand up, I was turning back to stand into him. And the moment I turned, the perfect timing. If he threw it a millimeter a second later, I probably would have been standing up or would have hit me frontal. It caught me like right at the base of my jaw as I was turning into it, and I was out from the first shot.
Wow.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It is. It's a crazy game.
Yeah, man.
You know? But that's why we watch.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Because you never know what the hell's going to happen. I hope Cody... That's three stoppages in a row with that.
Yeah.
That's not good for a young guy. You know? Yeah. He should rest up, rest his head a little bit. And work on not taking so many shots and maybe start utilizing his wrestling and switching some stuff up a little bit, because you don't want to just be that do-or-die guy, because it's fun now, but in 10 years from now, it's not going to be so fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I can't say enough about Cody. And I don't know why I got back to that.
He has
But Pedro Munhoz,
he has good sophistication in his boxing, yes. But for some reason, these past couple fights, he's just not using it at all. He's just throwing bombs.
It's not like he can't take somebody down either.
He has great wrestling.
You blend that in a little bit. Hey, man, you lift up that leg. You might want to finish the single. You might want to drop it and start throwing some leather. But you're still picking up that single. So I don't know. That's something for him and Uriah and his team to, you know, work on.
It reminded me of how Verdum lost to Stipe. Just kind of throwing wild punches, being like just wanting it that knockout so badly. Yeah, and it's like I understand. I'm sure that's what you'd want to do in that moment, but you know, it cost you, and it's cost him now his last two fights.
Yeah, three now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know the second round lost the first one to Dillashaw. I mean, that's the first loss. He was 11-0, and he lost a fight. But I think that the two after that have something to do with the psychology of having lost that fight.
Yeah. Well, that's what got, I mean, knocking people out is what got him there. It's not like he was finishing everybody on his way to the title. So
you want to put the fights back on, or is that Batman's penis?
That's Batman's penis. We're going to call
it shadowy.
Timmy's
it's shadowy.
Yes, yeah,
it's
shadowy.
Make out the helmet and
the shadowy genitals. That's what you want.
Jimmy wants you to make it bigger. I can't see those.
I know, but it's look at you straining.
But why?
See?
But why you do? But why is that?
They just did it.
What does it say? What does it say up there?
Oh, somebody wants to get a little. Yeah. All of a sudden, Batman's penis is the topic of conversation.
Guy. You're the cock guy.
Not a cock guy. Only if it's on a woman. I'm not gay.
You know what's funny, Jimmy? Well, I'll tell you. Know what's funny about this? Not funny about this.
I have to tinkle.
Well. What?
Sorry.
We're going to get back to what's funny about this.
You guys call Tim and I'll go piss. Okay, I'll be 2 seconds.
No, hold on. I got to take a leak also, though. Randy, talk to Tim. No. We'll be right back.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base. Up to a $699 value, that's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value. Free.
Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
All right, we're back. Matt's in the bathroom. Randy and I are here. Matt will be back shortly. We just both had to pee desperately. Matt's already back. We didn't even start the interview. Matt knows. Matt knows the pace. We're getting Tim Means on the phone.
Oh! Uh-oh, handstand.
That's pretty impressive, Matt. Fuck.
I don't know. Cut the shit.
That's his.
I'm sorry.
That's pretty good balance.
You make me feel good. The fact that I would do that little fucking
reason.
Come on.
We got Tim on the phone. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, good, buddy. You're talking to Jim and Matt on Unfiltered, and Randy Brown is in the studio with us.
What's up, Tim?
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How is everyone?
Good.
We're pretty good, buddy. You get ready to fight Nico Price on the main card, Wichita, this coming Saturday.
Yeah,
I probably should have thrown out a question. No, you're right. But I don't know what I wanted. That's my fault, Tim. I don't know what I wanted you to do with that. I threw out a fucking statement.
Tim's like, yeah, no shit.
I know. So, Tim, you're in the UFC. Go. The fuck did I expect with that?
That's so great.
I apologize, buddy. That was a shit question. All right. Well,
no worries. No worries.
How are you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. We're polishing up last minute details here, getting ready for the flight out. Just getting this weight off as comfortable as possible, and talking to the nutritionist and have the week prepared. So, try to make it as comfortable as possible when we get down there,
Now, Tim, Nico's got he's got a weird style. Like he's a wild man. How do you prepare for that with the sparring partners? Do you have guys really mimic what he's trying to do? If that's possible.
I have sparring partners. I have one guy in particular, Evan DeLong, that he's a little bit smaller than Nico, has almost 40 fights and has that same wild man style. We call him crazy legs. He can throw kicks up from all kinds of crazy spots, and his punches aren't terrible, but they're not super technical, and they hurt when they land. So trying to figure out those timings and then just mixing guys in that aren't technically sound. Those are the harder guys at times, such as a guy like Sergio Moraes. When I fought him in Brazil, it didn't throw real technical, but threw extremely hard. And those are the guys that are kind of harder to get the timing for. And that's what we've been working on, is just getting that fine tuning in. And, I literally just walked out of the gym over there now with Tom Vaughn and JJ, and timing's everything.
And I've been asking a lot of the guys we talked to lately, about preparation. How much are you, do you watch a lot of tape? Are you obsessive about watching fight tape of your opponent, or do you avoid it? I'm surprised how many guys don't do it.
I'm not obsessed with it. I make sure coaching them break it down really well. They're more involved in the footage. I watch a few things. I watch the first round, how you start, watch a few things in the middle of the round, watch some highlight films on the things he does his best. And the third round to see how he finishes. I'll do that probably at the first part of the camp, and then towards the end I watch a little bit more, and try to remember the things that I do well and not get caught up in his crazy aggressive. I think he has a cool style. He wants to come hurt you, so mainly I have to remember what I do and just kind of realize that he has some timings and some things on his defense that is off, and try to pick up on those holes.
Couple of really interesting fights in your division. What did you think of a Tyrant against Kamaru?
I had that fight going the other way. I thought Tyrone would win that fight with his experience, but came out flat. Didn't warm up, I guess. I'm not really sure the excuses that you can come up with, but asking for a rematch right after any type of performance is kind of what nobody wants to see. But I thought Usman looked very good. I thought he looked calm, cool, and collected, and he's a force to be reckoned with.
I was reading that you had some kind of personal issues with Diego Sanchez back in, I don't know when. I just read about that. He fought over the weekend.
Yeah.
How'd you like his fight?
Yeah. I called him out, and we talked to the matchmakers, and then they said that Diego had personal issues and pulled out of that fight and wasn't able to fight. I called him out immediately right after he fought. He fought at 170 when he's trying to call me out at 145 pounds. He's been going around town here telling everybody he's fighting his next fight was against the welterweight from Fit and HB, and I'm the only guy over there. So he didn't want to say my name, so I said his. He pulled out of his fight and then knew that I was on the horizon, turned around, signed the fight to fight Mickey Gall, and we all seen how good Mickey Gall is, so I understood why Diego's going that route.
So you think he took Mickey Gall because you think that he felt Mickey would be a much easier fight than you?
I know for a fact he took that fight for those reasons. He's hitting me up on social media and direct messages, and he told me that Mickey Gall was a bigger draw than I was and told me I was boring. Told me that I'm a low risk reward fighter. First, he's trying to give me my props and, hey man, you're tough, but you're a low risk and blah blah blah. And then he didn't start yapping. He didn't start saying a word until that fight was announced. They came back with that fight announced, and then at the very end of that week, he's barking and sending me music videos on my social media, and he's serenading me and singing to me and letting me know how tough he is. And that's cool. Diego acts crazy, but. It's just a lot of irresponsibility there, if you will,
Say you get past Nico Price, is that a fight you'd be interested in? Is someone you want to fight next? Is Diego Sanchez?
I don't care where we're at in our careers. Me and Diego will have to cross paths. Right now I have somebody super dangerous in front of me, and sure. He's a guy that's on everybody's radar. He's somebody that shows up, tries to hurt you, so... Nico has my full attention.
Do you think of things like when you're considering a fight, they come to you a fight? I mean, I guess the idea is somebody a draw. Yeah, I mean, or in your opinion, are they a draw? Would might be something. Have you turned down fights and taken somebody else because you felt one guy would do a better job with the draw?
I don't really get options when they call me. I think I might have turned down a fight if it was on like 3 or 4 days notice, and the weight cut wasn't realistic, and my cardio wasn't where it needed to be on that short of notice. But I don't get a lot of options when those guys call me. They say, hey, here's this guy, you want him or no? And it's always been a yes if there's enough time, if there's 3 weeks or whatever, if there's time to prepare for it.
I'm always amazed when I look back at a guy's fight record, and the first fights were in 2004. I mean, you've had pretty much a 15-year career. I mean, do you intend on going, Cormier, I think, said he wanted to fight till he was about 40. Do you have any type of a goal on it or any type of a definitive cutoff point?
I started that long ago, and then, I missed four years or whatever, dealing my legal pass and getting responsible, so... I haven't been in a lot of crazy, crazy wars. I've been in some fights. A lot of those fights have ended quickly. So right now I'm just going to do it as long as my body holds up and as long as I got the fire to want to get in there and get after it. I think I can keep doing it. So, I know there's not a long, long period of time or much shorter window than I was when I was 23 or whatever, but I'm still learning something new every day. I'm still holding up, running with the young guys. So I feel good. I feel really good where I'm at the moment.
I was just going to say, I'll tell you though, this fight with Nico, this has a... This has fight of the night potential right here, Jimmy. This is an exciting fight because Tim Means is always exciting. And Nico's kind of a wacky, wacky guy. So this is going to be fun as hell, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that in.
No, you're right.
All right. Hyping everybody up.
That's okay.
Nico has that fun style where he tries to come and hurt you. And I feel if you're watching my fights in the past, those are the fights I do the best in when the guys get in my face and come after me and try to put me down. So I don't have to go look for this guy. I don't have to go dance around and try to find him. He's going to be there. And all I have to do is do my best to find his chin or find a choke before he finds me.
Is it any harder for you? And I guess not because you are fighting this Saturday. But we've talked to a lot of guys, too, have said that as the years go on, it's just after a while, you just get kind of sick and tired of the trainer. It gets a little bit harder to motivate yourself to get out there and to do it. Have you dealt with any of that?
You know, the moment had come up when I won my third world title fight that I just wanted to quit. And then, you know, the money was hard, the living was hard, the training was hard to get paid peanuts. Right now, I'm happy with the pay I have in the UFC. I can make a good chunk of change overnight. I can pay some taxes, still have some money in my savings account left over and save. And right now, I'm setting up my future down the road for if I want to work at Walmart or be a greeter or whatever, it's because I choose to and I'm bored in life, not because I'm broke and I have to go find dollar bills and cents. So right now, I got a chance to change my life down the road in 10 years or 15 years with the finances we can get in now. And if I stay responsible with my taxes and all that boring shit that really is important, you know, I can change my life and my family's life down the road, and I just have to stick with it. Right now, the fire's there to want to get in violent fights. So, like I said, this does have this, and what's cool about this fight is it does have a potential for bonuses. Like when I was wanting to fight Donald Cerrone, and we had that matchup in Pittsburgh, and you know, dude thinks I don't like him for whatever reason, or want to fight Carlos and these guys that are from here. It's not because I disrespect them or don't like them or have a feud with them. It's because they're in the bonus fights every time out, and they come and try to hurt you. You don't have to go find them. They meet you in the center of the cage and try to hurt you. So those are the fights I'm interested in, the ones that come with, you know, we have the chance to change our stars overnight. Those are the fights that are exciting. And hell, look at these guys in the PFL that are fighting for $1 million. Those dudes are going out and leaving it all on the line. So give us a prize and we'll go for it.
And that's smart to make those things that are going to like have good financial implications in 10 years or 15 years. Have you thought, is there anything that you love to do that you're like, yeah, after fighting, I would do this?
You know, I talk with my brother-in-law, you know, my wife's adopted little brother. He wants to be a professional fisherman. So I hope I can join him on that journey of, you know, making some money fishing for some bass. So, hobbies, you know, I like to hit the golf balls, go out shooting, go out, do different things together as a family. Right now we've got the girls in basketball. So yesterday we were playing capture the flag and I was getting all my sprints in trying to capture the damn flag and the kids don't get tired, you know, so, my journey, my fire right now is to be around for my kids and not be locked up in a jail cell or doing something stupid with my life down the road. Hopefully we're watching these kids win awards and, you know, structure their life and be good down the road. I want to be around for those things. And I was missing those things when I was in my legal trouble in my early life, whenever I was a dumb idiot teenager and young adult. I got more important things now that are more important than myself.
And you talked about golf. Are you a good golfer? I've never played a round of golf in my life.
Man, I can hit a golf ball. It doesn't go very straight. Oh, okay. People behind us get kind of mad at me. We try, man. I got to hang out with the buddies and the mainly the cousins or whatever, and we just go walk around and hit some things, you know?
You see Kid Rock just had a hole-in-one playing with Jack Nicklaus.
Really?
Yeah.
He hit a hole-in-one?
I believe so, yeah, unless the whole thing's a fucking lie, but Jack Nicklaus tweeted it, and he said he actually hit a hole-in-one.
He's playing with Jack Nicholson?
No, Nicklaus.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. Yeah, that's badass either way. No, I haven't hit a hole in one, so good for that dude.
It's even cooler if he faked it. I respect that if he could get fucking Jack Nicklaus to tweet a lie, even more than if he actually hit the hole in one. So listen, do you have dude, do you have the patience? I can't fish. Like, I suck at fishing. I could catch nothing. You have the patience to sit there and actually do that for hours?
If they're biting, yeah. Yeah, if they're actually biting, you're catching different fishes, you know, but if you're there all day long and nothing's biting and you're just getting bit by bugs, that's not very fun. But, you know, these guys, when you go out to Oklahoma and I go hang out with my family, they know when the fish are running. They know what the season is. Those old men are smart with that water. So
right.
You find an old-timer and those guys that are in those bushes over there, and they'll show you where the good hunting spots are, where the good fishing spots are. But, yeah, they definitely have to be biting to make it fun, or we just put the poles down and start swimming.
Yeah, now, is there any kind you do in particular? Like, my friend goes fly fishing, which I just can't do. There's, like, you gotta fucking, you gotta, like, move the pole and skirt it out. I always have to shit when I fish.
Yeah, that is the problem that I've had also. But the damn fly fishing, I haven't figured that out yet at all. You know, my dad can do that and family can do that. But no, it has to be a regular puller. You have some of the cousins that are doing the noodling where they're sticking their hands down in these damn
the catfish
and pulling fish out with their hands and shit. Oh. Yeah, no thank you for that either.
Don't they let the fish bite them?
Yeah, they stick it like in their mouth and like hook the gill and the fish is flounce, like jumping around and they get some big ass fish on their arms. Jesus. I'm good. I'll watch that from the shoreline. You guys go ahead.
Me too.
Yeah, like this catfish like hang out in the mud and they just jam their fucking hands in these holes and the fish bite them and they pull them out. It's really a rough way to make a living.
Yeah, I'm like, what if a turtle bites your damn fingers off or something? But it doesn't happen. I don't know. Oh.
right, well, we love watching you fight. You're a fun guy, Tim. Man. You're a fun guy to talk to. So good luck against Nico Price this Saturday, man. We appreciate you calling in always. Come in studio if you're ever in New York. We'd love to have you in.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, as soon as I'm in New York, I'll hit you guys up. Yeah, yeah. I've never been over there, so except for a fight in Jersey, so I was looking at New York from across the bay over there.
Have you never been to New York City?
I haven't been to New York City yet, no.
Oh, yeah, you might as well.
Get there one day.
All right, come on, come in. We'll look at
bucket list stuff.
It's fun to do. All right, buddy. Yeah.
See you soon.
All right, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, Tim. Yeah, I'm fascinated with things like fishing. I just can't do it.
You know what he's talking about with the fishing when they're biting?
Yeah.
I think fishing bites.
I don't like it either.
I'm not a big fan.
Dude, I did when I was a kid. My friend Bill D'Angelo caught a bunch of fish, and I sat there like a fucking asshole with my pole in the water. They stole my worm. I got nothing.
I don't want to sound like an infant, but if you put like a nice, the Vive system right here.
Sure.
Vive is the virtual reality system I play with. Or there's a fishing boat over there, Jimmy. I'm going into the Oasis, and I'm going to be getting some bodies.
I'm doing anything besides fishing.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
But my point is, Jimmy, that it's so much more fun, the Vive.
I don't disagree.
Oh, video games. But what?
You're not going to boo yourself for that fishing bites joke?
Well, what about Jimmy before, what he said about Tim? I thought it wasn't really a great joke, and it didn't make it on air.
What joke?
When he goes, you know, Tim means business.
That's clever. I mean, that's...
Now, Matt, you have to tell the audience.
I lied.
Matt made that.
I made that joke up because Jim's a comedian, and if people, if they really thought that Jim said that Tim means business, he might lose his comedy card. You don't
absolutely
have a there's no such thing as a comedy card.
No, there's really
like
not.
A SAG card.
But I understand why you said that. Now
you'll lose respect.
I'm looking at that little thing in front of you.
You'll lose.
What
are you talking about?
Another
thing. It's a coffee cup. You got a large coffee cup, and I got a small one.
Oh, all right. Randy, are you an outdoors person before we wrap this up?
What are you talking about? We get back to the fights. What are you getting this off? We got to go back to the fights.
What do you mean?
We talked about all the fights?
We talked about the 235 fights. Yeah. I mean, unless there's some of the early prelims. Yeah.
Could you go back? I don't want to miss anybody. Yeah. These guys, they only have 15 minutes right here, and I want to give them that 15 minutes.
You're right.
What about Macy? Huh?
Macy Chason.
Macy Chason.
First round knockout. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Jimmy?
Well, Randy was right. Sometimes, you know, occasionally there's a knockout. Normally it's a submission, but I mean a decision. Sometimes there's a knockout. It's just not that often.
Well, tell us about Macy's last fight. Macy was impressive. Am I the only guy here thinking that Macy was impressive?
No,
Randy?
She was really impressive.
Did you watch the fight, Randy? Randy Brown. Randy said, I like that he's honest. He could just run with it. Jimmy, don't judge me. Jimmy,
Matt, I would never judge you.
Why would you judge me?
Never.
Do you think I'm not a husband and a father?
You're a good husband and a good father.
Randy Brown, do you ever see me down at my jiu-jitsu academies? Am I neglecting my students? Do you see me down there caring?
Oh, absolutely. You're in it and all over.
He's not even paying. Hold on. Maybe you might have to say that again because he's not even...
I'm listening to you.
Are you listening to Randy?
Of course I am. He's talking about what a good guy you are, how good you are in your studio, and you're very attentive to your students and doing drugs on air. What's wrong with that?
Caffeine is a drug, Jimmy.
Macy's last
fight,
of course, was at 145 pounds. It was the tough finale. She beat Penny Kanzad. She finished everybody a rear naked choke, and then she just finished Gina Mazzani with a punch in her last fight, and she moved. That was at 135. She moved down from 145.
Her record... That came out louder than I wanted.
Sure it did, because there's smoke in front of it.
Yeah, right, guys. Don't play along with him, because the people, I don't really think something's going on. What were you saying?
She is, wait, let me see.
What is she? Don't get that wrong, man. No, nobody's listening. You're the producer.
Oh, yeah, she's 4-0. No, sorry, I got confused, because the Ultimate Fighter fights are
Well, she's dangerous, man.
She's 4-0.
And tell me about Gina, because Gina was gamey. Gina had a hard time... just getting her range, and she couldn't find her range in that fight.
Yes. She's lost two in a row. Lena Landsberg, it was a decision loss before Macy finished her in the last fight.
Can I apologize to the audience for that Tim Means joke? That was pretty bad.
Why?
Because I did it to try to make a joke about, like, I tried to direct it to you, but nobody believes it, so they know I came up with it.
Sure.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It's okay.
That can make me lose my job.
I mean, you're a father of how many?
Three. So that's a bad dad joke.
Yeah, there you go.
Tim Means.
It's normal.
The guy's entertaining fighter. I can't recover from. I can't recover from that.
No,
joke.
That's
Jimmy. You don't look at me differently. Don't lose respect.
There's nothing you can do.
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
Nothing you can do.
It was punny. It was a pun.
That's okay.
There was no fun about that pun. Now I'm rhyming.
Sure.
Jimmy, I think we should end the show because I think it's only going to go downhill.
Absolutely.
No, let's keep it going.
Go take back one more
to,
hit.
To the fights. Are we done?
Yeah.
Well, we can just mention Edmund Shabazian, who is a Edmund Tverdian product, who's managed by Ronda Rousey. He had a very impressive first round
finish. Matt, comment.
Charles Byrd.
Matt, comment.
Well, you know, this guy here, he's, there's nothing to say, but I like him.
Was
I like
he in the corner?
Yeah. It was a first round KO.
Yeah, Edmund was in the corner, yeah.
Was it a first round finish?
It was.
The guy looked awesome. Yep. Every time I ever met, I don't know how the guy is with people and whatnot. I know he had problems with some people. Every time I met the guy, he was a gentleman.
Who?
Edmund. Nice dude.
Yeah. Edmund Tverdian. This is Edmund Shabazian. But yes, his coach.
Oh.
You're 100% right. Yes.
Okay, don't throw me off.
No.
All right?
Yep.
Anyway.
And then the only other fight we didn't talk about.
The kid looked awesome.
He did. Pollyanna Viana and Hannah Cyphers. Hannah Cyphers got the decision win. And I was actually saying before the show,
What's that?
Hannah, hates being interviewed. She just makes her uncomfortable, I think. And she had a very funny interview with Megan O'Leary. Funny because
she was awkward.
It was like the worst case scenario for her. Yeah, it was really funny.
Did she answer the questions?
She did. She's very sweet. I think she's just really
shy. Let's try to get her on the phone then.
Yeah?
Let's
play her post-fight speech.
I have to find it.
Let's get her on the phone.
This guy. We're only 20 minutes into the show. Why am I saying that, Jimmy?
Because the clock was reset.
You can't do that to us.
I said it, but you were in the bathroom.
It?
I did.
He said we're already at an hour 10.
Yeah. All right. Restarted. Listen, is it just me that doesn't want this party to end?
Yep.
You've lost all sense.
Randy, what do you want to plug? Anything you want to plug, Randy?
No. Oh, my Twitch. I'm on Twitch playing video games every damn day.
This show's going another 20 minutes. Wait a minute. You're on Twitch.
Yes, I am. I play with John. I actually, me and John play almost every night.
John who?
Vellante.
You and Gian Vellante, heartthrob. And you're getting, I'm not getting in particulars, but you get paid for that.
Me? No. I'm absolutely terrible. No one wants to pay any money to watch me play. But
no,
people are watching. You know, if the people watch,
give a
you
plug.
Know.
Yeah, they might want to watch.
It's Twitch.
You're a fun guy, Randy.
It's Touch and Go 170. Touch and Go 170. There it is.
And they could watch you play. What is your game of choice? Don't say Fortnite, is it?
Come on.
Is that fun?
Hell no.
Is that kid game?
I don't
play that shit either.
Nah. Real gamers don't play Fortnite.
Real gamers play Battle Royale.
Hell yeah.
Standout Battle Royale. You ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Chicken dinner. Winner.
Chicken
Raptor dinner in Standout Battle Royale.
Well, I don't know that one, but I've been playing PUBG. I play PUBG.
It's the same thing as that, but in virtual reality on the Vive. Okay, I got the Vive Pro.
Oh, I've never played in the virtual reality mode.
Oh, dude, it's the same thing. You drop from a plane, the perimeter, you have to get weapons, and the perimeter comes together.
It gets smaller and smaller.
I fucking love that game.
It's like,
is there something wrong with me loving that game as a 44-year-old man?
No. You want to be the last man standing.
And I am more than I'm not. I fucking love it. I love it. Survival, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know.
Jimmy, it's survival.
That's what
man.
I like about it.
And it's so much fun in virtual reality
because
you're seeing this shit. You're going through houses and you squeeze the controller. I see you getting a gun. You don't see me. I can come up. Boom, I pull that shit out of your hand.
Snatch the gun.
Takes you up.
You know, Rogan has a Vive set up over there. You got to go over there.
I can go right to my living room.
Well, that's true.
But when I'll go over there anyway to see Joe.
Yeah.
And when I'm there. Yeah. You know, maybe I can hang out with Joe in the Oasis. I call it the Oasis.
Wow,
that's from Ready Player. Don't do
Ready Player One. Okay.
I'll talk to Randy. It's like you like Ready Player One.
Ready Player One is sick. Actually,
that's the future. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's so much fun. My wife wanted to see who I was playing with the other day. It was my buddy Genova, and he listens. By the way, he was happy I mentioned his name on here the other day. And I'm like, you don't think I'm talking to somebody? I put the headset on, and it's not looking like at your friend Matt over there. And he's like, hi, Miss Sarah. And he's like, fucking waving at her. Some 30-year-old dude from Boston. Nice guy. He's a musician. But anyway, Randy, I know we're going long, Chris.
Oh, producer. It's all good.
But let me just tell you, last night, myself and Breadwinner, I took out the infamous Duke of Prunes. This might get a little boring. Anyway, what else do you want to plug?
I play Apex, too. Join me what in is Apex. That? That's the newest game that's out right now. Apex.
Division.
It's a battle royale. I can't really go into it. It's a battle royale. It's a shooter. It's a shooter. Kind of futuristic. You know, I don't really like futuristic games, but that game is fucking sick.
What kind of system is this on? Like Xbox or something?
Yeah, I play Xbox One.
Yeah, and they have PUBG for that.
Yeah, they have PUBG, Call of Duty.
I'm telling you, ever since I got my Vive VR, Vive Pro,
I'm gonna have to try that out.
I've been in some of the UFC games. I can't get back into that Xbox.
Yeah, it's
tough. It's the future.
You want to live it.
It's Ready Player One. You have to live it. All right. What a show. Anything else you want to plug?
No.
What about Nardu School?
Yes. Budokan Martial Arts is my main academy. That's where I train. If you want to learn how to be a slick, smooth striker, you know, that's the guy that you need to go see. Low key, that's the man. You need to go see him. Also, some jiu-jitsu. We do a lot of jiu-jitsu there as well. I head over to Matt Serra's place and get some good work. He accompanies me all the time. You know, and follow me on Instagram at touchandgo_.
Hey, listen. Jimmy, you want to plug anything?
Yeah, April 15, 16, I'm going to the Orlando Improv. I'm sorry, no, I apologize. March 15, 16, Orlando Improv. And then April 4, 5, 6, San Francisco, Cobbs, Rochester coming up in May, and the Stress Factory Memorial Day weekend in New Jersey. That's all the gigs I have for now.
I got back on that Cameo because they were hitting me up.
Oh, that's good.
It's nice. Oh, the fans, they like that. And I like talking to the fans. They get happy.
They do.
Yeah, you know, why not, man? You know? It's expensive taking kids to the movies.
Sure it is.
Yeah, we did that last night. You know what I saw? What? That Lego, the new Lego movie. I'm not really into that.
Bring your kids?
Yeah, my kids like it, though. You know, but
kids, of course.
Yeah, but I can't get into that. I guess that's part of being an adult to me.
Yes, it is.
All right, what a great show. Randy, thanks for hanging out, man.
Anytime.
I'll probably be seeing you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
That's so awesome. I got nothing to plug. You don't have to train with me, but people do train. It makes you a better person. Train some martial arts, specifically Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We're out.
And thank you to Johnny Walker and Tim Means as well. Randy, thanks a lot, man. No problem. Love having you.
I said we're out prematurely.
Thank you.
No, Ready? Okay.
And we're out.
Jimmy, I appreciate you coming. All right. Now, remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/UFC Unfiltered, or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.